To Die For. Written by David Baldacci. Read by Zach Villa, Mela Lee, Cassandra Morris, Rena Marie Volano, Christine Lakin, Will Collier, Kiff Vandenhuvel, and Aaron Bennett. Dedication. To the memory of Guinness, the other half of our canine dynamic duo, you gave us nothing but love for 16 years, Gin. I will never forget you. Chapter 1. Travis Devine sat in the cab staring at the note he just found in his coat pocket and wondered how many more minutes he might have to live. And here he thought he might just grab a cup of overpriced Java, pick up a good book, and chill tonight after almost losing his life several times during his last mission. And why am I still apparently in combat even though I no longer wear the uniform? Devine had just returned from Maine, where most people ventured to fish, hike, and commune with nature. Instead, he'd run smack into people who wanted to plant him in the dirt without the benefit of a funeral service. He read over the words again.
Nice bumping into you in the airport, former Captain Devine. We missed getting you twice before, but you know what they say. The third time is usually the charm. At least one can hope. See you soon. I promise. XOXO. The girl on the train.
The airport taxi driver, a gray-bearded Sikh wearing a pagri, glanced at Devine and said hopefully,
Just put your card or phone next to the screen, sir, and follow the instruction. Easy peasy.
Devine looked up at him, touched his phone to the device mounted on the plastic shield separating the front and rear areas of the vehicle, and completed the transaction.
See? Easy peasy, said the driver.
Yeah, easy peasy. Devine got out with his bag, his Glock, and his distrust of everyone and everything. He took a few moments to perform a 360 sweep of the area, looking for what, he wasn't really sure, only he knew it was out there. She was out there. First on the train gliding like an eagle through the Swiss Alps, then on dark back country roads in murderous and cold as hell Maine, and now here within spitting distance of America's capital. It appeared the girl on the train was getting a little obsessive with him. Devine walked into the hotel where he had earlier booked a room, since he currently had no permanent residence. His occupation didn't really allow for putting down roots, and neither did his temperament. Since people were usually either trying to kill him or frame him for various felonies, he made for the world's worst tenant or neighbor. But if your thing was long-range sniper shots through kitchen glass or a C4 stick wedged under front porch flower pots, he was your man. Maybe I should stop paying into Social Security. Because I am never making it that far. He bypassed the front desk and kept going until he reached the rear entrance. He turned left out of the pricey building and picked up his pace. Death threats almost always required a change in plans, and he had no desire to make himself an easy target. In fact, the rulebook said you made it as hard as possible. Otherwise, some people might take advantage. Despite what the note had said, they had actually tried to kill him 3 times before, including, initially, on the high-speed train darting between Geneva and Milan. So this would be the 4th time, which wasn't usually charming at all, not that violent death ever was. Yet if they did manage to murder him, Devine figured it would have to do more with incompetence on his part than skill on theirs. He texted his boss, Emerson Campbell, and reported the threatening note. Campbell immediately replied,
Stay where you are. We'll come and get you.
Devine answered, No, I'll come to you. If I don't make it, good luck to whoever replaces me. And in lieu of flowers, make a donation to the VA. He walked into an office building and rode the elevator to the 15th floor, where he looked out through the wall of windows at all the activity down below. Time and space from the battlefield allowed one to think things through, details that might be important enough later to allow you to stay alive. But when the bullets were flying, and you felt like you were inside the pulsing heart of an erupting volcano, he'd take sheer luck over brains and proficiency. But the harder Devine worked, the luckier he seemed to get. So there was that equalizer in a world that otherwise didn't seem to make much sense. Devine saw couples entering bars or restaurants, families heading to wherever families went, working folks hustling to their first, second, third, or gig jobs, and idlers idling